This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I welcome Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, to comment on what we know so far of the elections in Russia, the Duma elections. Washington Post, President Vladimir Putin's United Russia Party is expected to maintain its grip over the State Duma, or lower house. Exit polls in the country's parliamentary elections show, amid complaints by opposition parties and independent observers, of widespread fraud. Professor, a very good evening to you. The Duma elections were never meant to be a challenge to Vladimir Putin's presidency. They do, however, express the form, the structure, the protocols of democracy. Is Russia enough of a democracy to wait another cycle, another strongman, another era for real transparency to emerge? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I think that's an excellent point, because Russia has a constitution that, if followed, would yield a respectable state having the sort of freedoms that European and many Asian and African states enjoy. Putin gets around this not by changing the state structures, but by manipulating them through corruption. And what we're seeing now is that although the Washington Post may say grip, in fact, his grip is loosening. We have a turnout this time that's below 50% of voters, and many of those voters have said that they were compelled to vote, although it's not clear that you can compel them to vote for a certain person. The main opposition groups, such as Navalny, they were all excluded. Even so, the total vote with 40% counted is 43% for the United Russia Party, which is a drop from 54% in the last election, and a doubling to 23% of the share of the Communist Party, which is doing very well. Now, what the Communist Party stands for is anybody's guess, but voting for it is a way of not voting for Putin. So then there's one other question, which is, will Putin's party retain a two-thirds majority, which means they can amend the Constitution and basically do whatever they want? My own view is that they may not. That's a pretty high bar, and their vote is down by 25%. It's down by a quarter. So that suggests to me that if they have to go for majorities, and they could conceivably lose a vote in the Duma, then political activity is going to increase. So what we're seeing is I think this is probably the last hurrah for Putin. He'll be by 76 the next time that he would be up for the presidency. He's allowed to keep being president until 2036, but I just don't see that happening. So the question really that is being discussed, that we should be discussing now, is what next?
Yes, what next? We have no obvious successor, just like in China, no obvious successor. And succession struggles are the moment that tyrannies, dictatorships, authoritarian states, strongmen fall apart. We know this from history. So can we expect that Russia has enough of an apparatus to stay together in the transition? Will it reach for another strongman, or is this the last hurrah of the apparatchik?
Well, I first went to Russia when I was a teenager long ago, and I have been in touch with the place every few years since. And I would say that Russia actually has in place the structures that are needed to deal with these problems. You mentioned China and Xi. They have no laws. They have no constitution. They have no nothing. Russia has got a constitution that is sort of frozen and impaired and violated, but which could work. So I suspect, and here's probably a bit of my hope in there too, I suspect that as Putin fades, that other figures are going to emerge, but they're not going to emerge as strongmen, surrounded by Siloviki, the crooks and the gangsters. They're going to emerge as leaders of actual constituencies of voters. Even the head of the Communist Party, Zhuganov, he's no great political leader. He's talking about that there might be street protests if Putin is too corrupt. I think we may be approaching a realization of the promise that Russia had when communism was eliminated in 1991, that was briefly present in the democratic government that followed. Had some very, very impressive members, very strong, but then was tanked by Mr. Yeltsin and the terrible mistake of putting Putin in charge. And once Putin's in charge, he's just going to manipulate it to stay in charge, but he's not going to build anything.
The Europeans are undergoing elections as well, the German election, the French election next year. We know that there's a lot of movement around this. Who is the strongest partner in Europe? The Australian, United Kingdom, U.S. submarine deal has exposed a lot of fragmenting. Does Russia take advantage of this after the Duma election? Is Russia in a stronger position now because of Europe's disorder?
I think the answer is that this so-called AUKUS, there's a wonderful acronym, is first of all, a completely unexpected and just a huge positive action that has put the United States, the United Kingdom, and Australia now really in the leading position in the world with India, Japan, and various other strong countries aligned in the so-called Quad with us. This, of course, means that those European countries who have been sort of trying to figure out what to do, if they want to spite the United States, they're going to go to Russia. But the Russians don't need them. This whole development has changed the calculus between Russia and the Far East. So that now, as I understand it, the Chinese are feeling so beleaguered by a situation they've created themselves that they've decided to follow Putin as their leader. That is a mistake, as it always has been. So I think that what the French and the German, the French have always relied on the sort of Gaullist sort of provocation and twisting and so forth. And so the Germans are just muddled. They don't really talk about a lot of the big issues. They just get on with manufacturing stuff and making money. But the French have decided that France should somehow be a great power like Russia or India or the United States. And that's impossible. And therefore, they are going to have to either accept relegation or, as I keep hoping they're going to, although they show no sign of doing it, they're really going to have to get their act together and start spending on their military. Why did the Australians decide not to buy French submarines? Well, John, you're not a naval analyst, nor am I, but I'll tell you, French submarines are no damn good compared to the other submarines on the market, and that's the basic thing. If you're going to spend billions of dollars, why buy second-rate stuff?
Because Putin now has the Duma election solved, and I mentioned, oddly, that he self-isolated a week ago, the explanation being something to do with COVID, but it was odd to not have him out and about for the last of the Duma elections. Is he in a position to consolidate even more than he has so far? Is there any growth available for him? Does he need to do something to become more popular, or can he stand pat?
I don't think he can stand pat because I think that the ground is shifting under him. I think he's reached his apogee, really, with the last elections. I mean, his party is down by one quarter of the vote. I mean, they're only at 75% of what they got last time around, and this is with less than a half a turnout. I think that Putin is at an age, and when he should be thinking about moving on. He has a very lovely girlfriend who's 38. I mean, she can keep him amused. He has no particular ideas or visions for Russia, and I don't think that he is a compelling leader. He's seen as being a safe leader who will keep Russia great and won't do terrible things. But the fact is that Russia has been decaying, although stable in his hands. But he's driven Russia to a dead end. It's been a pleasant, safe, relatively safe trip, but they're now at a dead end. And Putin is going to have to stop, and then the Russians are going to have to figure out how to go back and try to capture the promise of the end of communism. And they'll realize they've wasted a lot of time with Putin. But on the other hand, I think that they are maturing politically. The degree of political freedom in Russia is very small compared, say, to the Netherlands, but compared, say, to Burma or China or any number of other countries, Zimbabwe. I mean, Russia is appreciably free. There are free news dissemination. There are parties being formed, and Putin deals with them by things like poisoning the party leader. That's not how you build a political constituency.
Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations. This is Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.